Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law, pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Everybody taking a sip, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin right here on a numbers game, live from Circa. How you doing this morning,
Doing sir? Well, man. How you doing?
I'm good. We're totally not rushed setting up for this show.
We don't get enough time to bond pre-show anymore, you know?
No, it's a little, it's like the...
it's like a whole 3 minutes less.
A pit crew thing.
It is, yes. NASCAR pit crew.
Which is how radio is normally done, but we were so used to the D, like having all day to do whatever.
We got spoiled. Well, yeah.
We're headed back to the D, everybody. No, we're not. Sorry. Just a joke. On the show today, Crack, Zach and Crack, each and every Thursday on the show, Zach Cohen, VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, quite frankly. He's got all his plays. I don't know if he's betting any tennis, we'll find that out, but he certainly is betting football and the NBA as well. We will get to Zach, and then Crack, Unscripted. There is nothing like it. Bill Krakenberger, whatever he is on his mind, coming up hour number two on the show, and we'll do our Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. Coming up as well. Do we match on the smooth bet of the week?
No, we don't. It's just yours, but I agree with your play. How about that?
All right. That's all right.
So we'll talk through it. Yeah.
By the way, speaking of the NBA, which we did moments ago when we were talking about Zach coming up, did you race to get all your Zachary Risachet Rookie of the Year tickets yesterday after he dropped 33 for the Hawks in a victory yesterday?
A winning bet for me on the Hawks. That was on a screen for the entire game, Kill. I didn't realize till the very end of the game that he had hit 30 points. I was like, I feel like he's been active, but what, 30?
It was one of those things that came across the crawl at the bottom of the screen, and I'm like, wait, what? Did I miss? Like, when I was gone, is he a thing? No, it just started yesterday.
Also, if you had asked me, like, preseason, is this guy going to score 30 points in a game at all this year? I'd probably be like, nah, probably not.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Bullets guy, the Wizards guy, Alexander Sarr, his field goal percentage is horrific. Have you looked at this over the course of the season so far?
Yeah. I don't think it matters, though. I love the opportunities. If you're betting on Rookie of the Year. Hey, I'm going from a complete betting perspective, right?
Yeah. As we do.
Yeah. Developmental wise, maybe a little bit more questionable, but yeah, he's getting a lot of shots up, getting a lot of minutes. I do like him Rookie of the Year right now. If I had to make a single bet, that's probably where I'd go.
Also, since there's making the joke about Risachet and the overreaction, even though he is the short shot to win Rookie of the Year. But do you see the kid for Creighton? I say kid, he's played at Creighton for 7 years, it feels like. Ryan Cockburner, who ended up with 49 yesterday.
Yeah, it was wild.
49 on 20 of 22 shooting. He's 7-1. They were playing UT Rio Grande, I believe, Rio Grande Valley. Not like they were playing the 84 Hoyas, Kelly. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about the 84 Hoyas, by the way? Anyway, 49 for him. So that was interesting in basketball. Tonight, Thursday night football. Enough of that baloncesto. You have a play on this game, Bengals and Ravens?
You know what? I do. It feels like the
I might, too. Let's see if I can. What are you going to do?
Feels like the squarest, most boring thing ever. But this Ravens offense is so high powered and this Bengals defense can't stop anything. I'd play team total over on the Ravens.
Team total over on the Ravens.
29.5 is where I got it at yesterday. I just sat and stared at this all week. I think if I had to play a side, Gil, I'd probably take the points with Cincinnati. Massive game tonight, though. If you're someone like me and my friend at the desk here, who maybe got a division ticket on the Bengals roughly, 7 months ago or something like that.
That was our first bet by far season.
Yeah, first NFL bet. I mean, this game, it's a must-win game for Cincinnati. And if they do win it, they are lurking right there for the division.
They are lurking. We can give them that. They're lurkers. By the way, we went over yesterday, AFC make-miss playoffs. considering that, and we're going to go over NFC here coming up momentarily. This game tonight, always with Thursday Night Football, I lean heavily on the great work of Sean Corner over there at Action Network. We got to get him on the show, by the way.
Yeah,
and I always say by saying, it's like, I'm not familiar with him beyond Thursdays. Maybe he does great work also beyond Thursdays, but at least on Thursdays. One of the things he points out, and this has been a theme, we have done really well on Thursday Night Football talking about the sustainability of things, right? A lot of sports handicapping is trying to identify what is sustainable, what is unsustainable, or as the kids call it today, what is signal and what is noise. Lamar Jackson, 20 touchdowns, 2 picks this year, by the way, in 9 games, but he's got a little hitch at his giddy up still. He's not on the injury report. You wonder, though, because last week, what did he have? 3 rushes, 3 carries for 4 yards. Mm. So you wonder if that's going to be part of the Ravens' whole calculus tonight, or if they still sort of, pull back the reins on that. T. Higgins likely gone for the Bengals tonight. So there's that as well. But I was talking about the sustainability, unsustainability, and Corner does a great job of this. Both teams currently, what's the total here? 52.5. And this total has gone nothing but up.
Yeah, 52.5. That'll be on the low end from what you're going to find out there. Yeah. I saw a 53.5 this morning.
I 53 is about consensus right now. Yeah. We're showing 52.5 on the screen. So this has to do with the total. So both teams currently rank high in red zone touchdown percentage. Now, what does that mean? Again, we've talked about this on Thursday Night Football multiple times this year. Just give you an example, right? That the Saints, do you think of the Saints as a good offense? They're a top 5 red zone touchdown percentage team. The Packers and Niners, on the other hand, which most people think of as good offenses when they're all fully healthy, they rank in the bottom 5 for red zone touchdown percentage. So all of that stuff tends to regress, right? Because it's not your red zone touchdown percentage is not a true reflection of how good or bad you are. Sometimes you can go full seasons and under or overperform on that. But typically when you're handicapping, it's sort of your job to figure out, oh, they've been getting the best of it. Oh, they've been getting the worst of it. So in this case, with the Bengals and the Ravens, both of these teams rank very high in red zone touchdown percentage. So they've been getting the best of it. The Bengals, for instance, the last the 3 weeks before this game against the Raiders, where they dropped 41 points. But remember the 41-24 final, I believe it was. That wasn't over, but there was a pick six. And then the Bengals were set up, I think it was twice in the Raiders' red zone on turnovers. The 3 games before that, the Bengals went 17-21-17 in terms of their team totals against the Giants, the Browns, and the Eagles. So throw that in the mix. Also, that Bengals offensive lineman Orlando Brown could be ruled out tonight. He is, you talk about the Orlando Brown and the T. Higgins impacts. Higgins got the quad injury. He's probably out. Burrow's production takes a hit without him. Goes 8.0 yards per drop back when Higgins is on the field, just 5.5 yards per attempt without him. And remember, when Higgins is on there, it tends to really help Jamar Chase. Without Higgins, Jamar gets the double coverage sort of treatment. When they played the Ravens last time, it was both Chase and Higgins. Just to give you an example, Chase went 10 for 193 and 2 touches, Higgins was 9 for 83 and 2 touchdowns. You take Higgins out, that changes that tremendously as well. As far as Orlando Brown is concerned, the Bengals also take a big hit without him in the lineup as well when it comes to rushing yards. Chase Brown, who has really taken over in the backfield, they average, let me see when we get the yards on this, 4.5 yards per rush with Brown, with Orlando Brown, that is, right? 3.8 without him. So there's that as well. So I'm just I'm putting all this into the mix to sort of support the under here, right? You have the absence of Higgins, you have the absence of Brown, which hurts the Raven stats, both in the passing and the running game. When you go to the other side of the ball, right? And again, big shout out to Sean Corner on this. This is, Derrick Henry time, right? One would assume, because the Bengals are ranked 23rd in rush DVOA, Aaron Schatz's dad. We had Aaron on the show yesterday talking NFL. So the only thing about that, though, is the Bengals are actually really good about initiating contact early. They've allowed the 4th fewest yards before contact, the 4th lowest explosive run rate. So that perhaps could contain to a degree enough for the under to hit, because you're containing Derrick Henry in that sense, even though overall you're not very good against the run. So there's that sort of muting of it, if you will. Ravens will be without Isaiah Likely. Throw that in as well. And though they acquired Deontay Johnson, he's only going to be in his second game. So you wonder, he really didn't get really that much of an impact in his first. It's probably too much to expect him to go nuts and have a big impact in game number two.
On a short week.
On a short week, yep. Exactly. So all of that stuff, right, seems to lend to the under. And again, right now it's 53. The strategy here, though, Kelly, right? I'm going to use that. The strategy here would be to wait. I don't think there's any rush. As people keep putting money in on the over in this game, the strategy for me as someone who would want to bet the under is to wait as patiently as you need to. Because I think this is only going to go up between now and game time. I could be wrong about that, but that's the instinct.
Yeah, what's the usual we see with primetime games, especially Thursday, right? Favorites and overs, and that can't be said enough, probably. So, yeah, I think if you are looking at the under, no reason to rush to bet it right now.
Yeah, and the other thing is, since Zach Moss has gone out of the lineup, Chase Brown has made the Bengals running game that much better as well. That also lends to the churning of the clock. So, again, I'm not touching the side here. I think on guessing lines, I guessed 6 or 6.5.
Yeah, you were right on
that. So it was right on that, and that's what it is. I don't really see any value there. But if it's anything for me tonight, it's the under, and I'm sort of talking myself into it.
Massive game. I can't wait to watch this. Feels like we got a great slate of primetime games this week. Feels like it's been a little while since we've had that. But yeah, this is huge. I mean, MVP race, this is huge for tonight as well. Like, I mean, Lamar, you talked about the rushing stats.
All the Joe Burrow stuff we talked about this week, potentially, who is it? Will Hill that said maybe offensive player of the year.
Yep.
Aaron Schott said maybe comeback player of the year. So we'll see. He's got a lot of touchdown passes, but this would be a game on center stage, right? Standalone game where everybody's, you'd hope the voters would be watching everything.
Right.
But you don't know. I mean, this has a big impact, and they are human beings after all who could be influenced by something like this. So that's my thought. And under, if anything. And I'll do the Megapod after this. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I will do the Megapod. Mike Pritchard is our guest.
Oh, nice.
And we'll find out if that is one of my three picks of the week. I'm a half game, normal, game and a half behind Todd on the year.
Todd's the leader right now?
He was way up.
Whoa.
Yeah, I have cut the lead significantly. He's not beating me. That kid's not beating me. We'll come back. NFC make miss playoffs next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With so many sports in action, there's no better time to put the VSiN experts to work for you. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. 19 hours of live programming featuring expert breakdowns and in-game analysis, power, strength, and better ratings used by professional handicappers, plus our exclusive betting splits with trends and analysis to make you a sharper better. Start your VSiN Pro subscription today for as little as $9.99 and see everything VSiN has to up your betting game. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I'm not doing the lean-in thing today anymore. You notice that?
Well, now you're going to get it in your head, though. Don't bring it up.
I'm much more upright today. You know what I think it is? This is totally not important anyway. How loud it is in my ears. If it's louder in my ears, I'm like, oh.
You know what? There's something to that. There is something to that.
Because
when you do like podcasts with people on remote, that's a thing.
Oh, yeah. We got to work on that, by the way. Megapod coming up. Mike Pritchard. I'm pumped. Mike Pritchard on the show today.
Miss Pritch. Yeah, we got to get him back on the show, too.
Pritch, please.
Pritch, please.
That segment never really caught on. It kind of
died before it ever got off the ground.
We got this great idea. It's going to be Pritch, please. It's going to be so funny. We never really, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll try. All right, yesterday we did AFC make miss, NFL make the play, make or miss the playoffs in that market. And we thought there was a couple pretty good bets in there. I did not, full disclosure, I did not make any of those bets. So today, equal time, because that's what you do during political season.
good call.
NFC playoff picture. Now, Kelly, I did a deep dive on this. Now, here's the thing about, filling content for hours every day is that you're going to go through markets where you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. These bets are so good.
Yep.
And then inevitably you're going to run into some, which just in the sense of being thorough about stuff. You want to cover it because you did the AFC, for instance, yesterday, but it doesn't often lead. Sometimes it doesn't lead to a bet. Sometimes the best bets are the bets not made.
Mm-hmm.
A wise man once said that. So I went up and down this for the NFC and, we did the exercise with the AFC. First of all, I think the way you start is by saying, in the AFC, I asked this on Guessing Lines, just sort of off the cuff, which is, okay, here are these five teams that you think will make it. Who are the, who's going to fill the sixth and seventh positions? And if I give you the Chargers as one of them, who do you think will make the seventh? The NFC seems a lot clearer than that.
Yeah.
And so that's the starting point. And so that inherently makes this a little more difficult to find a bet, because the Lions are 7-1. The Lions might be the best team in all football. They're going to the playoffs. The Commodores, they're probably going, man. Their schedule's easy. I say it like this because I'm a lifelong Washington fan, so I can't believe I'm embracing this. But they're probably going, and the lines reflect it, right? -10,000 for the Lions to make it, -750 for Washington. The Vikings are -475. I think these are so appropriately priced, by the way, as well. And even though they're 6-2, so I tried in looking for a bet here. I was like, okay. If you're not bullish on the Vikings, let's say you're bearish on the Vikings and you're like, okay, let me look at their schedule. What's like the worst? What's the worst they can do? Let's say they win only three more games. They've still banked six, so they're going to go 9-8 at the worst, probably, right? Barring just a spate of injuries. So the Vikings, yes, is -475. And then the Eagles, even higher than that, right? -900. The Falcons, who look like they're in the driver's seat, not look like, they are in the driver's seat in the NFC South. They're -1200. They're prohibitive favorite to make it. Okay. And now you get to these other teams. The Packers are 6-3 and they're -240. I just happen to think the Packers are really good at football. I don't think they're missing the playoffs. And then the question then becomes, okay, so who's the seventh?
Yeah.
And the Niners lurk. And it's reflected in the numbers, because the make playoffs, if you go down that list, you see that one of those things is not like the other. The Niners, despite being 4-4, are -160 to make it. So I don't really think, I think those are your seven NFC playoff teams. But if you forced yourself, Kelly, if you forced yourself to say, okay, great, Mr. Man, I get it. You think those are the seven. But if I came to you from the future and I said, guess what? Those aren't the seven. Where's the bet? And so I think for me, 9-8 at minimum is going to happen in the NFC. I don't think there's any losing teams that are getting in. Yeah. There's too many good teams. What would be the team to replace that? You know, what's the team on the outside looking in? What's the team that I think right now is on the inside looking out, if you will, based on my prediction? And the only thing I could possibly come up with, and I'm not betting it because I don't believe it in my heart, but if you're forcing me to come up with a bet, it would probably be the Cardinals in and the Niners out.
Yeah.
And so then I got excited. I'm like, let me look at those numbers, right? Those aren't even fun, because the Niners out is only +135, only in quotes, and the Cardinals in is only +115. So I think this is remarkably well priced.
It's kind of funny you say it, because my initial reaction to once going through this was Rams in, 49ers out. But I do think it's in that area that you have to think about it, because okay, we're division and wild card, right? If you're talking about the Vikings making it along with the Eagles and Commanders, okay, it's two wild card spots that are taken up already, right? So we're talking about who's going to win the South, who's going to win the West. Well, it looks like the Falcons are going to cruise to the South. And then it really becomes, okay, maybe one wild card spot, and who's going to win the NFC West. So I think it is probably the most likely that if we're only talking one NFC West team, so you really just got to pick who's going to win that division.
And then it gets to, okay, let's say I'm one of these bettors who has the stomach to lay a big number. I think the Bears miss at -650 is actually kind of appropriate. That might represent a little value. Sorry, Bears fans. But I'm not betting that at -650. The other one I looked at, because we talked about these yesterday when we were doing our power rankings, I was like, all right, what did Kelly and I, when we were doing our top 15, what did we also agree on? We agreed on that both of us said the Seahawks were not in the top 15. Mm-hmm. And so then I looked at the Seahawks and I'm like, okay, 6-1 to make, -900 to miss. That's got to be mispriced, right? And then you look at the Seahawks who are 4-5. Remember, we're at the point now where it's like, okay, the runway is still there, but it's getting shorter real quick. I'm sure there was like a Yogi Berra messed up phrase in there that I was about to make, but it's getting late early, as yeah. Yogi Berra would say. And so, you know, look at if we can go back to that schedule, guys, the Seahawks, they have the bye here, right? But at 4-5, you're like, okay, could they get in? Could they get in? They got eight games left. Well, they got at the Niners and home Cardinals. then at Jets and at Cardinals, home Packers, home Vikings, at Bears, at Rams. They're not going to the playoffs, man.
Yeah, probably not. I got a preseason ticket for them to make it.
And what I worry about, we had my Seahawks exposure is on Mike McDonald to win Coach of the Year, and I don't think that's happening.
Don't think it's happening.
If they don't make the playoffs. Who's your Coach of the Year, by the way? I talked to Aaron Schatz about it yesterday. He was very non-committal on Coach of the Year.
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think a lot of us, I don't want to speak for others. I'll speak for myself. How about that? Kevin O'Connell was kind of the shoo-in, right, for a large part of the early part of the season. So I don't know. I do think that's opened up. I mean, Dan Quinn, I think if season ended today, you got to go Quinn. I think that was maybe different a few weeks ago, but season ended today, I'm going Dan Quinn.
See, but then you remember my follow-up to Aaron was, okay, but Jaden Daniels is absolutely winning Offensive Rookie of the Year if the season were to end now. Do you think there are voters that would not want to give that award, both awards, to Washington, in other words?
No, I think, so this is
he
where...
He said there would be some that would have that opinion.
I think if you have an MVP player, that is far more likely to knock off the Coach of the Year consideration. I think Rookie of the Year and Coach of the Year could both be won by the same team.
Yeah, except for this Rookie of the Year, right, if it continues, would be a top five MVP candidate also.
And he should be.
100% he should be.
I think the one that's really interesting, Matt and I were talking a bit about it last week. The odds reflect it, so I'm not going to say there's still like a ton of value here. I just think the way we talked about Mahomes and the Chiefs with the MVP and Coach of the Year market has completely flipped from the preseason.
I brought this up with Aaron yesterday about Andy Reid you're talking about.
Yeah, because I mean, how many off seasons have we said Andy Reid won't be considered for this award because he has Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, but you have to consider him this year with the counting stats that Patrick Mahomes has and how good this defense is playing. Andy Reid has to be considered in this market this year.
But for those who missed it yesterday, we got into that as well. And he's like, yeah, if they go 15-2 and the second loss is in a meaningless game, it's his. But then I'm like, okay, 15-2 is kind of cheating, right? What if it's 13-4? Let's say the Chiefs go 13-4, which would mean they would only go 5-4 down the stretch, right? And let's say one of those is meaningless to use his. Then is it his? And he's kind of like, not really. So
such a high bar.
There's still a ridiculous bar for
Andy.
Yeah,
it really is.
The other one he brought up is Mike Tomlin. I mean, Mike Tomlin is probably at 9-1 right now. To me, looks like the best value there.
You could make a lot of arguments in this market. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, who saw that coming really from the Chargers team? I mean, great. We all know Jim Harbaugh is a great coach. I didn't expect this team to look. I don't even know how good they look. That's how good they are, Gil. I don't even know how good they are.
Was it Humans?
They keep making me lose bets.
I believe Humans was the one before the season who said he likes the Chargers over.
I believe you were correct.
And a lot of it had to do with schedule, and that has manifested for sure. Aaron Schatz did admit, not to keep bringing him up, but he did admit from yesterday, for those who missed it, Tomlin, you know, he's an analytics guy. He's an analytics pioneer when it comes to the NFL. You can't measure Tomlin. You can't.
Yeah.
So, you know, if he's talking about maybe he's voting for Tomlin at this point, you know, it's hard midseason to pin anybody down, but that was one that was on a short list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think midseason, though, this is where these short shots become more clear, right?
So anyway, I don't have a bet in NFC make miss, but a worthy exercise to go through, a valuable exercise to determine that there are no bets nonetheless. Zach Cohen with bets on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you the type of player who's looking to get down $10,000 or more on an NFL line at the best price in the market? Or perhaps you're looking to get your in-game play instantly accepted? Introducing SportTrade, the app that's going to change sports betting forever. -104 lines instead of the typical -110. Instant in-game betting and a concierge player service. SportTrade, perfect for those who want a premium betting experience. SportTrade live in New Jersey, Colorado, Iowa, Arizona, and now the Commonwealth of Virginia. Download SportTrade. Use code VSiN to earn 10% cash back on each wager in your first week. Terms apply. You got to be 21 years or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER. Look at Virginia getting SportTrade.
Let's go.
DC and Maryland looking over with jealousy.
That's right. Should I sum up our Coach of the Year conversation on the break?
Yes, you did. Please do that.
Gil, there's a 90, in my opinion... 95% chance that it's either Dan Quinn, Kevin O'Connell, Andy Reid, Jim Harbaugh, or Mike Tomlin. Just can't narrow it down further than that.
Excellent job. Stepping out on a limb. Well done. But that reflects. Gambling's that's a good easy. Reflection of what it is.
Yeah, really. I think it's very wide open right now between those guys.
As for our discussion on NFC make or miss, BG McAvoy on Twitter. We get tweets. BG McAvoy says, after this week, Tampa has an easy schedule, he said. Tampa has an easy schedule. By the way, Trip Tepper chimes in. In the NFC playoff odds, can I pitch you guys on the Buccaneers? Yes. To make the playoffs. They have a very soft schedule after this week. So half a unit now, half a unit if they lose to the Niners. How about that?
I just think it's, I think those wide receiver injuries are massive for that team.
I
kind of wrote them off after Godwin and Evans both got hurt. Evans will be back here at some point, but is it enough? I don't know that it is. And again, just going back to what we were talking about, I think you have to believe in them winning the NFC South. So you got to have a, you've got to be fading the Falcons a bit too. And I just don't know that I'm there yet.
Yeah, what was their number on the yes, by the way? Do you know, do you see that offhand? I can't remember what it was, but yes.
I'll grab it.
A couple votes for yes from Twitter. And then Mark Maynard at Easterly 1. Hey, Gil, don't mean to rain on your taco holders, but is Tomlin versus a rookie quarterback the start of the Kingsbury second half of the season effect, or is Daniels immune to the Kingsbury effect? What Mark is referring to, and Mark, thank you for the kind note. By the way, I should say this again. Hundreds of just the nicest notes about my mom. I will get back to all of them. I'm doing some every day, but there's hundreds of them. But Mark Maynard was one of them. But here, what he's referring to with the Kingsbury effect. Cliff Kingsbury at Texas Tech, everywhere he's been, like even going all the way back to college, there's these amazing starts. The Arizona Cardinals, same thing, right? He has a history of amazing starts to a season and then just absolute meltdowns. The team just crashes as you go down the stretch. So Mark is basically saying, what's going to win out, right? Jaden Daniels' awesomeness, or does the Kingsbury effect kick in this week against the magic beans of Mike Tomlin? It's a great question. I can't wait to find out.
That's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
+210 on the Bucks.
+210 on the Bucks. So even that, so that's the thing. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So you guys might be right, but +210 is not enough to make me want to make that bet. It's not nearly sexy.
Yeah, if that was like 4-1, sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. I love Baker Mayfield this year. I love him.
That market is terrible. It's so priced correctly.
It really is.
Yeah, it's awful. Sorry about that, guys. Zach Cohen joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him at Betting on X on the Twitter machine. He's a VSiN senior editor, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. Zach, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Can I ask you guys a question?
Please.
What do you guys think about Jonathan Gannon or Sean McVay for Coach of the Year? Because I kind of think both those teams have a shot at the NFC West.
Who brought up Gannon the other day? Somebody brought up Gannon.
No, they're my other 5%, yeah. Zach. I said 95%. Okay?
He's got them on the list too, Zach. He's like a quarter of the league deep on these. Sean McVay, I don't know. Do you feel like Sean McVay would actually get enough votes? I'm not sure he would, even though he's great, obviously. And they've had a lot of injuries themselves. What's the threshold? You have to ask yourself, what's the threshold on all these? So the Rams and Cardinals, it's make playoffs.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's probably win division.
Win division?
Yeah. I think it's win division for one of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, if you win the division, right, you beat out the Niners, then you really – so that's the angle there. It's not bad, actually. Yeah. Thank you, Zach. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you've done enough already.
You would get better odds on those guys than those teams to win the division.
Well,
so
that's why. Yeah.
I don't want to speak for Zach, but that's why, right? So that's the because they could possibly eke out the division. There's the obvious path because that would be a tough case to beat. You know, unless the Lions go 15-2, right, or something like that. You know,
I didn't even have Campbell in my five, in the five guys.
I love how Zach brings it up and then we're like batting it around. Sorry about that, Zach. Apologize. Let me ask you this before you give us more football and basketball thoughts. Tennis. I just want to bring this up because you and I are tennis hardos and it's the WTA finals this week. And I'm just curious, are you betting any of this? Because I am not.
I have been betting it. Yeah, I actually, before the tournament, I took Sabalenka and Qin Wen Zheng to win. They were both in the same group. I just had read that the conditions were insanely fast. And once I saw that, I kind of ruled out Iga and Coco as contenders, although Coco has looked great. But I do think that Sabalenka or Zheng is going to get the job done, and we're entering the semifinals soon. So I do really like Sabalenka after what we've seen, and I am looking forward to betting the ATP finals next week, which will be, you know, Novak Djokovic list, but still a pretty good list.
Let me rephrase that. Are you betting it match to match, though?
Not at this point. I was betting the ones that counted. I don't like it as we get later in the round robin play. We don't really know what's going on. You know, today we had Kasakina playing for Pegula, and it becomes a mess.
Yeah, it becomes a real mess. Kasakina went in for the injured Jesse Pegula. She's going to be fine, Kelly. Don't worry.
Good.
She's got a bit of cash that she can fall back on.
All right.
But Ego rolls her, right? Ego rolls Kasakina, and then. Let me just ask you also, and then, yeah, you're right. Like yesterday, Rybakina beat Sabalenka in a match that didn't matter for either of them, right? Yeah. Rybakina's out, Sabalenka's in. So it's a whole thing. And then the only other question I have is this. Was this not supposed to be outdoor hard court, Zach, and is now indoor? Am I missing something?
I'm not sure. I just know that they were saying that the speeds of the courts were like insane in practice. I'm not sure where it was supposed to be. I know that they're probably a little bit happier to be playing indoor hard court than last year when they were playing like uneven surfaces in Cancun or whatever it was. But it's a really weird situation, and there's no fans in the stands either. So it's a real mess of
none
last year.
It's literally, for those who don't know, I probably should have said this. It's the eight best. They're trying to keep interest after the slams, right?
Yeah.
So they put these finals. It's the eight biggest, the eight highest point totalers, you know, from the whole season, just like golf. And so you have the eight best female tennis players in the world in this group stage, and then they go into a bracket thing. And there's, like Zach said, there's like three people there. It's so bad.
What did we spotted on Monday? I asked you why they were playing in the Hoosiers gym. Like, that's what it looks like. Every one of these gyms.
It's dark. It's like, and they're the eight human beings, the eight female human beings that are best at this activity, and nobody's there. It's all. Anyway, so you do have the futures on it. Okay. Good luck to you on those. Let's go to the NBA. Anything today on, of course, a short Thursday schedule?
Yeah, so I'm playing the Blazers reluctantly at +4 against the Spurs. I don't really think that Portland's a good team, actually one of my least favorite teams to watch in the league. But the Spurs are playing the second night of a back-to-back. This is going to be their sixth game since October 30th. They've just played a lot of basketball on top of the fact that they're dealing with, you know, the situation with Greg Popovich, which can't be easy. You know, they're saying he has a serious health condition, so they're not, you know, without their head coach right now. And the Blazers have had 2 days of rest since beating the Pelicans on Monday. They've been a team that has been solid under, you know, with rest under Chauncey Billups, 19-14 against the spread when playing with two or more days rest. I just think this is going to be a bit of a close game. The Spurs have been really, really bad offensively this season, 27th in the league in adjusted offensive rating. And the Blazers have been a little better than expected defensively, 18th in the league. So I think the Spurs are going to have a hard time scoring. And I think this will be a game that comes down to the final possession or so.
Okay. Your favorite NFL week 10. Do you have anything tonight, first of all, and then the rest of the week?
You know, this is probably my favorite bet of the week tonight. Is I like the over 52.5 in this Bengals-Ravens game. I think that these two defenses just can't be trusted to get stops. And I know that the Ravens obviously are unbelievable offensively, possibly the best team in the league. So the Bengals are going to have their work cut out for them and stopping them. That's kind of why I ended up laying off the +6, even though I do like Cincinnati a little bit tonight. But I just think this is going to be a game where the teams go back and forth. We saw it happen already when they played in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago. I don't think it's going to get, you know, too different from what we saw last time. Burrow has kind of quietly had an amazing season for as bad as the Bengals have been.
Sure
he's has. Up there in, you know, pretty much every single metric. I was really tempted to take him to win MVP a few weeks ago, and I didn't. But I ended up losing that game to the Eagles, which he probably would have needed to win in order to even be in that conversation.
Real quick, anything college you like best?
College was really tough for me this week. I did end up playing Utah against BYU, which is it's tough for me because I had Utah to win this, you know, the Big 12 this year, and has just been a complete lost season with Cam Rising getting injured. You know, they fired their offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig. It's been a really ugly year in terms of that offense, but they have had a bye week to kind of figure things out and try to get that thing going. And defensively, I just think that they're going to have a lot of success against BYU's offense, which I still don't really believe in.
All right. Don't look now. I love that for that sports phrase. Don't look now, which means look. The Warriors are a phoenix rising from the ashes. Just want to point that out.
Looking good.
Oh, boy. Could they be doing this again? Thank you, Zach. Appreciate it. Thanks for the Jonathan Gannon and Sean McVay note as well. Zach Cohen, everybody. Betting on X. Crack coming up.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, is Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Chris Patrick, a lot of Bucks love here. He said, I have never been a Baker Mayfield fan, but I feel like this season he is one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL.
I love it. I'll add to this tweet. I've never been a big Baker Mayfield fan. I love him this year. He's maybe my favorite quarterback to watch this year.
I loved Baker Mayfield in college, as so many did. Obviously, won the Heisman. I thought you wouldn't want this guy on your team. He ends up being the number one pick in the draft. He's, that Cleveland Browns Hard Knocks. He's a little prickly.
Yeah.
He's not for everybody. I don't know about top five, but I understand your point.
He's got some, Tony Romo vibes going right now of this, I'm going to get it done no matter what. It's not going to be pretty. Like, his, four-yard rushes where they're, it seems like 120% effort in.
Yeah. Gotta love him. Let's see. Teasers and parlays. Let's go. Zach and Crack Thursdays. John Balducci. Shh. Don't tell anyone. The Washington Capitals are solid. I won't. I'll make sure to keep that quiet. Kelly doesn't know a thing about it.
I saw on SportsCenter last night. We're actually going to start having the Gretzky Ovechkin talk.
Oh, yeah. He's
there.
Well, the thing is, based on his goal production the last couple seasons, you didn't really think it was going to be this year. It's probably next year. But now people are thinking maybe it is this year.
He's 30 shy, something like that? I think is what I saw last night. 861st goal last night.
Yeah. He's only 30-some shy, yeah. Grade 8. Let's go, Ovi.
Is that the most amount of hockey that me and you have ever talked?
Oh, no. When the Caps won the Stanley Cup, I was all about it.
Me and you together.
By the way, don't tell anyone else. The Vegas Golden Knights are really good, too, here at the top of the year, I believe, as well. This is from James Sada. I actually did a little today on Krejcikova because of what you guys just said. She has something to play for while Coco does not. Hoping she loses, though. I want Iga in the semis. And then Brian Moranian... Morianen, pardon me, Brian. Brian Morianen, just tossing this out there. Would the WTA finals be better suited for a country with more female rights / equality to draw fans to the event? It's been a big matter of controversy, by the way, Brian. My answer would be yes. Daria Kasatkina, who we mentioned was an alternate for Jesse Pegula, playing Iga this morning, getting stomped by Iga. She was all anti playing in Saudi Arabia, and then apparently she's not that anti anymore.
I mean, it gets tough with the money, right? Because, if WTA, you can make enough money to kind of fund a bunch of the other events throughout the year with doing something like this, you understand why.
But yes,
Brian.
Which brings us to our Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week, presented by Larceny Weed and Bourbon. Lock it a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky, 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. All right, Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week. You and I have matched on this for many weeks. The Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week is the Washington Commodores. Let's get it done. I have this at -2.5. That's in my account at -2.5. -3 consensus right now. Is that what we're looking at?
There's still some two and a half
out there for the taco holders. I refuse to call them the commandeers. Or you know what the other word.
You said it yesterday, though.
I did say it yesterday. I'm trying. Here's the thing. Great point made by Mark Maynard just moments ago off Twitter, who was talking about, Cliff Kingsbury has this history, right, where the teams that he coaches, and I get it, he's the offensive coordinator, teams that he coaches do very, very well as a head coach when he was a head coach early first half of the season, and then they all seem to taper off. He has many years of evidence to support this, both at the college and the professional level. I will say this, though, behind the scenes, what folks are saying in D.C. about Cliff Kingsbury, because, if you read the FTN football preview, they were murdering Cliff Kingsbury in that magazine. Yep. The word is in D.C. that Cliff Kingsbury came in way more collaborative than Eric Bieniemy was, and that they instantly took a liking to him. Now, obviously, if you draft the right guy at number two, which they did, that helps a whole bunch. And so maybe it's an unfair comparison. But that was the interesting buzz about Kingsbury from inside the locker room in D.C. I think it's a fair question to ask. I think the fairer question is this, beyond the Kingsbury effect, whatever, however you want to quantify that, which is almost impossible to do so, as his being the offensive coordinator. But the things that you talk about regressing, we were talking earlier about what is sustainable, what is not sustainable. Washington has been historic in the first 9 weeks of this season. 42.5 yards per drive on offense, which True Media Sports tells us is the most average yards per drive through the first 9 weeks of any NFL season by any team ever. Not by a rookie quarterback, by any team ever. There's that. Is that sustainable? The fact that the Skins only have three turnovers through the first 9 weeks, that is an all-timer through the first 9 weeks of an NFL season. Not for a rookie quarterback, for any team, just three turnovers. Only two of those are picks, by the way, from Jaden Daniels. So there is a fair question to ask, is that stuff sustainable? And I will be the first to say the turnover stuff is obviously not, one would think, over time. The question is, comes down to this game. My guess was Washington minus four when we did this on guessing lines. I was surprised that it was lower than three, and as long as it was below three, that was a play for me. The other thing is, I mentioned this on guessing lines, Washington has punted the football 19 times this season.
It's incredible.
Tress Way has been on the field 19 times. That's it. It's barely over one punt per half of football. So the Steelers' task is to, you know, turn back all of that stuff. And on defense, while it has become very fashionable, by the way, I don't know if Marshawn Lattimore is going in this game.
Yeah, it looks like.
Might not play.
Yeah, it looks like maybe not.
The newly acquired Marshawn Lattimore, four-time Pro Bowler, previously with the Saints, that the that Washington traded for this week. So that might not be the case. But I will say this about their defense. It was very fashionable for us to say early in the year, oh, their defense is horrible. It's not horrible. It's not good. But it's not as bad as we made it out to be. So in this case, do I think that Russell Wilson and the Steelers and Mike Tomlin's magic beans could you know, will win this football game, will cover this football game? I don't. Would I be totally shocked if they did? Of course not, because it's Mike Tomlin and his magic beans and Russell Wilson throwing the ball high up in the air and somehow it landing in George Pickens' pocket.
The moon ball.
So, yeah, I mean, would I be the most shocked person in the world? I will not. But as long as this is under three, the Washington Commodores are my larceny smooth bet of the week.
Yeah, like it, not one that I'm on with you. I think both of these teams are really scary to get in front of, but just where the numbers at, that would be the look for me. Absolutely. Would lean the Commanders' way.
Feeling lucky? Put your money in larceny weeded bourbon where your mouth is. Whether you enjoy sipping it straight or mixing it in a cocktail, the True Pros know larceny raises the stakes in flavor with every pour. It won double gold at the 2024 San Francisco World Spirits Competition. I did not attend that, Kelly.
You missed that one?
I missed it. Don't gamble with what's in your glass. Enjoy smoother sips no matter the spread and seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at larcenybourbon.com. ANG is brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. A couple things I wanted to just follow up on from the last segment. One, the Warriors beat the Celtics last night in Boston.
Man, they look good.
And I know there was no Jaylen Brown. However, the Warriors are now 7-1. Do I have that correct?
Yep.
Okay. The Warriors have already, remember last year I did the whole
5-0 on the road.
Remember I did the whole thing last year when Clay, you know, if that was Clay Thompson's last game with the Golden State Warriors, and it was, right? He plays in Dallas. That they needed, you know, we needed to pour out a 40 for what was this unbelievable dynasty of basketball that probably should have won two more championships than they did, right? Should have been five championships. Should have been six championships instead of it was four. And they were the most beautiful thing in sports. Remember when they came back to win that last one, they had come back after the KD thing and they had bottomed out. Right. It was sort of by design. They knew they were going to bottom out after the injuries to Clay and to KD and KD going away. And then they rose from the ashes and won it again. That is extremely rare in sports.
Oh, very. Yes.
You just don't see that. Could they be doing? I don't want to go crazy here, but could they be doing this a second time?
Gil, I've got more confidence in them doing it this time around than I did that last time.
I mean, this has to like people have to recognize if this happens. It's already unprecedented what they did. But are you kidding me?
It's crazy. I mean, Wiggins has got to get back to the consistent level of Wiggins being good that he was during those championship runs. They need that. But if you continue to get development and quality games out of Kuminga, Moody, I mean, these were the guys that I had all the questions about in the offseason. JVT was very bullish on this team. Good
yes,
for
he
him.
Was.
He's
yes,
looking
he was.
Very right so mm-hmm. far. And my only hesitation was we're putting a lot of pressure on these youngsters to really fill those big-time shoes. But, man, so far, so good in Golden State.
Kuminga seems to be okay with the benching.
Yep.
Everybody seems to have a good attitude. Buddy Hield has been spectacular in the early
going.
That
one I'm not shocked by.
You're not shocked by
that. Buddy Hield, I think he's a perfect fit for this team, right? I mean, you lose Klay Thompson. You need three-point help. You get one of the best three-point shooters in the league. He's fitting right in.
The
Six
other thing,
rebounds yesterday. Though. Wow.
Yeah. The other thing
Buddy
I don't
Hield hitting the glass
and kind of the clinching three yesterday. Yeah. So more or less. The other thing I don't want to let go. I liked the under in the first segment in this Thursday night football game when we talked earlier on the show. Zach likes the over.
And I'm on Ravens team total over. So I'm kind of in between you guys.
Oppo alert. So sorry to confuse, but we each made a case for it.
Yep.
That's how the cookie crumbles sometimes. We'll come back. Bill Krakenberger in studio, unscripted. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.